I think everyone is surprised, including the Taliban itself.
Taliban take control of Afghanistan. It's Monday, August 16th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. Find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, concern for Afghan women and children. Kabul residents share comments from the street and virtual tours. It's all on today's VOA Asia.
اوسنی وضعیت که د امنیتی او دفاعی قواو بیاین سجام زموګلوم لای توپ ده
President Ashraf Ghani told Afghans in a 2.5-minute recorded message Saturday that he intended to fight the imposed war and would make sure the security forces were up to the task at a time when the Taliban seemed to be inching closer to the capital, Kabul, by the day. It took less than a day for the Taliban to enter Kabul, seize the presidential palace, and accelerate a flee from the city that included Ashraf Ghani himself. U.S. officials watched armed Taliban fighters move into the Afghan capital as the top U.S. diplomat, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, described the scene as heart-wrenching. Taliban leaders declared victory Sunday in the lightning-like offensive as the last of the Afghan security forces melted away, leaving the gates to the Afghan capital open to the insurgent forces. Despite claims by Taliban that their fighters were securing parts of the capital, a U.S. official told VOA that the U.S. embassy itself, as well as Hamid Karzai International Airport, were safe. Michael Kugelman, Senior Associate for South Asia and Program Deputy Director at the Wilson Center, says the situation appeared inevitable whenever the United States had decided to leave Afghanistan.
I think everyone is surprised, including the Taliban itself. I think that it was inevitable that after Biden announced his decision to withdraw, that the Taliban would ramp up its offensives to try to pressure the Afghan government. But the speed with which it has been able to take over so much territory, including a shocking number of provincial capitals, in just a few days after having never done that essentially over the last 20 years, it's quite remarkable, but ultimately it's quite heartbreaking.
Kugelman says developments in the last few days pointed to the fall of Kabul.
Well, I mean, for a long time, Afghanistan or the Afghan government, the Afghan people have been concerned that the U.S. would abandon Afghanistan to its fate, as it did several decades ago. The U.S. had been sending signs, had been sending signals in recent days that it was going in that direction. I mean, it issued a statement asking all, or basically commanding all Americans in Afghanistan to get out of the country immediately. There had been leaked reports suggesting that the U.S. was planning for potential evacuations of its embassy personnel. So I think it was only a matter of time when the security situation completely deteriorated, as it has in recent days, that the U.S. would leave. And I think that absolutely, I mean, symbolically, it's huge, because I think that this is really the U.S. diplomatic presence had been really the last visible vestige of U.S. commitment to Afghanistan. I mean, the funding, the financing will continue, but you can't see that. If you have an embassy that's staffed with people there, I mean, certainly, sure, they're sequestered in their embassy, they don't get out much, but the fact that they're there was important. But the fact that the U.S. is now evacuating so many of its diplomatic personnel, I think that'll send a very powerful message, not just within Afghanistan and to the world, that the U.S. is on its way out, that it's essentially giving up. Certainly, U.S. rivals will take this as a sign of weakness. But I think at the same time, there will be plenty of countries that see this as, you know, the optics are terrible, but that it was just a matter of time before the U.S. concluded that it had done all it could in Afghanistan to try to bring a semblance of stability, and that there was no avoiding these types of bad optics, that eventually the U.S. would have to leave. And whenever it left, the Taliban was guaranteed to launch an offensive. So I think that reaction and perceptions to these U.S. moves would differ depending on what the country is.
Michael Kugelman, Senior Associate for South Asia and Program Deputy Director at the Wilson Center. More on women and children in Afghanistan in just a moment. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Thai riot police and anti-government protesters clash in Bangkok. Hong Kong's largest protest group disbands. Australia's New South Wales announces snap lockdown. Analysts say China expanding influence in Africa via telecom network deals. Philippine court tosses libel case against journalist Maria Ressa. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more when you visit us on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on our website, voanews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We continue with VOA Asia. As the Taliban take over Afghanistan, aid workers vow to continue civilian support, but acknowledge the situation is looking grim for the most vulnerable, including children. Women in particular fear a return to the harsh treatment they endured the last time the Taliban controlled the country in the 1990s. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has more.
Shuttered storefronts Sunday in Kabul as the Taliban's campaign across Afghanistan reached the capital. Violence pushed civilians from their homes. Most of them are women and children. Five fleeing families found refuge in this small house. Among them are three widows and many orphans with nowhere else to go and for whom school is no longer an option. Displaced widow Guldastar says she lost her husband and three sons to the fighting. She tells VOA her grandchildren now provide for the family as trash collectors in Kabul.
Look at these little kids. They are collecting paper and plastic from garbage. Is this work for little kids? What did Ashraf Ghani do for us? What did Karzai do? What did Taliban do for us? They widowed our girls. We've been here for months. No cooking, no meat, no good clothes or shoes. They're still trying to get medicine.
With the Taliban bulldozing through Afghan security forces, those bringing humanitarian aid face tough choices.
We are aiming to be able to stay and deliver the assistance that is really critical right now, but also have contingency plans for if the situation continues to deteriorate, how we keep our staff, both national and internationals like myself, safe.
As Taliban fighters are set to take control of Afghanistan, human rights workers worry most about Afghan girls who, under Taliban rule, were not allowed to go to school, and women who could not go out in public without a full-body covering and male escort.
Taliban still have same philosophy for their own self, like that they have their own war. And it's really not possible, it is difficult for all people of Afghanistan, I'm sure, and particularly for women and the youth.
A displaced man identifying himself as M.O.M.R. tells VOA his family just wants a normal life.
Taliban, you have mothers and sisters like us. The government, too. You have families and mothers and sisters. For God's sake, stop the fighting. For the sake of the Holy Book, stop the fighting. If there is no war, we can go home and work to provide for our families. We left everything behind.
These displaced Afghans say the Taliban set landmines around the homes they fled. They say their children lost limbs. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, speaking with Kabul residents on the street. Happening now in Asia, a mudslide triggered by torrential rain in Nagasaki Prefecture in southwestern Japan killed at least one person. Two others are still missing. The mudslide hit two homes with four people, one presumed dead, another rescued, two missing, according to the Fire and Disaster Management Agency. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thanks for being with us today on VOA Asia. With their swift military victories across the country, Taliban easily rolled into Kabul Sunday. VOA's Aisha Tanzim talked to people on the streets of the Afghan capital just before the Taliban arrived to find out how they feel.
I'm on the streets of Kabul City, kind of part of central Kabul. There are lots of people here, evening rush hour traffic going. I want to find out how people are feeling at a time when Taliban seem to be nearly at the gates of Kabul. They attacked Maidan Sheher, which is 40 kilometers from the city. The government forces fall, as they have in many other provinces, and retreat or surrender, then Taliban could be around Kabul. So let me go and talk to a couple of people here. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good, good.
May I have your name, please?
Yeah, my name is Ruhullah. Rola,
you can call me Zimi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zimi, tell me, you're watching the news, you're hearing the news.
Yeah, every day.
Well, how are you feeling?
Feeling very afraid of this situation because it's getting tense and day by day.
Are you planning to stay in Kabul or are you planning to leave?
I don't think so. If I could, I'll just go today. But there is no way, you know. I have a bachelor in law, so if Taliban gets here, I don't think I could have a job. I don't think I could have a bright future in here. You know, I have two daughters, and I worry about them as well.
So the Taliban have issued multiple public statements. They have said that people should not worry, that they will not go on a killing spree, that women will be able to go to school. Do you believe them?
It's hard to say that, you know, it's hard to say that because their mindsets are still the same.
So you were a child when Taliban were around the first time. Do you hear stories from your family members, parents? What kind of stories do you hear from them?
I do. They have tortured my mother. They have,
What do you mean tortured your mother?
Like, they were, you know, they had a long, what do you call it?
Lashes?
Yeah, lashes, and beat my mom.
They beat your mother up for not wearing a hijab?
Yeah, she had a hijab, but I think they were thinking that's not proper hijab or something.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
As you heard, one part of the story, people who are worried about Taliban coming, they're worried about their future. There's another side of the story, the poor people who say their lives will not change much. They're doing their job. They'll continue to do their job. The two sides of the story. On one hand, fear, anxiety. You know, people are not sure about their future. On the other hand, the poor people who say their lives have never changed. It'll stay the same. They're selling fruit or doing whatever they're doing to make their daily wages, and they'll continue to do that. Aisha Tanzim, VOA News, Kabul.
Amid the serious news in Afghanistan, we'd like to end on a slightly higher note. When the pandemic paused global travel in 2020, some tour guides moved online to lead live stream tours of popular destinations. Matt Dibble looks at how virtual getaways may be here to stay.
This youth leadership program in North Carolina usually takes a trip each year to celebrate its graduating seniors. But during the pandemic, there was no leaving home.
So I said, well, how can we do something so that they are at least being given the experience of traveling?
Ivana Ross, director of the program, landed on the idea of a virtual tour with an Israeli company called Hapator. The students chose Australia for their destination.
Come and join me as we learn all about Australia's plants and animals.
The tour was live streamed and interactive.
He was very engaged with us. He made it fun. He was funny. I saw different mountain structures, different types of birds. It looked like a whole new world, you know.
Dominic DeRozzi has been a professional tour guide in San Francisco for over 30 years. But in 2020,
my normal work schedule just collapsed.
With a few pieces of equipment and software from Hapator, he was ready for live streaming.
You are on the main drag of Chinatown. Hi, Lily.
During the tour, participants can ask questions.
The fortune cookie, as we know it, was invented right here in San Francisco.
Even as travel to the city is picking up, DeRozzi thinks virtual tours, which started about $14, are here to stay.
It comes at a good value to give people, you know, a one-hour slice of a city or a destination.
We never try to replace real tourism. We're trying to create an additional exposure to new places, maybe a niche destination.
Almost like being there, minus the smells and the tastes. Matt Dibble for VOA News, San Francisco.
That's all the time we have for our program today. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. The Afghan story continues to develop minute by minute, hour by hour. You can follow it online at voanews.com and on VOA Asia's social media platforms. And we'll be back tomorrow with more developments on VOA Asia. We thank our team for helping bring this program to you each and every day. Service Chief Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a good day today. Be safe. Be well.